So hey, and welcome back to The Expert Edge. Today's conversation, we're going to be talking about camera confidence and how you can improve the confidence that you have on camera. Now, I will say, before we jump into the episode, if you haven't yet created your conversion story is the story that when you share it, it automatically leads your audience towards your offers. If you haven't created that conversion story, you can have it in under 24 hours. And if you haven't grabbed conversion story formula yet, I would recommend you to go and do it. It's literally the price of a few tacos, and you're going to get access to building that story that whenever you get on podcast, on video, on any sort of speech or presentation, you're going to know the right story to share. So head over to conversionstoryformula.com and go and grab your conversion story, because I know that it's going to take your storytelling, your communication, your magnetism to just a whole nother level. So today's conversation, we're going to be leveraging your story and talking how you can utilize it on video, on camera, on building that confidence to communicate effectively on camera. And I'm so excited to have Azalee Barclay come on. She is a camera confidence coach. She is incredible at what she does. Make sure you reach out to her after this episode as well and just let her know what was most valuable, most helpful. And take a screenshot if you're listening to this and share it in the stories, tag Azalee and myself. And I'd love to hear what was most helpful, most valuable. So let's get into today talking all about camera confidence.
You are listening to the Expert Edge podcast. This is the place where experts come to command the stage, position themselves as authorities, and scale their business up. Get ready to access your next level of potential with your host, Colin Boyd.
Azalee Barclay, welcome to the Expert Edge.
Thank you for having me, Colin. I'm super excited to be here.
Hey, I'm super stoked to have you on the Expert Edge. I think that we're going to have a fantastic conversation all about becoming confident, communicating your ideas on camera and on video specifically. And I know that you are just an expert in this space, and you've had a big impact on thousands of people in the expert industry. So could you share with the listeners, how'd you get into this space? Like, what was the journey for you about why video for you became so powerful, so important, and your kind of journey into this space?
Yeah, I have been a content creator for a really long time. I started blogging around 2007. I worked in New York City as a PR intern. And so I was on that side of things, and I would see bloggers online, and I would see them making an income and all of that. And I'm like, oh, wow, how are they doing this? And so I started blogging as well pretty early. I was blogging much about nothing. And so around, I would say, 2009, I made my first YouTube video, and it was so cringy that I took it down right away. So it didn't have a moment to go anywhere. And so a few years later, I decided to try again because I really wanted to share tips on beauty and fashion. That was what I was into in that time. Yeah. I used to make jewelry and sew my own clothing because I couldn't afford to buy fancy things. And so I started in that way. And I started doing partnerships for brands, like free partnerships. And I realized that if I wanted to make money, I needed to shift or change something. And one thing that people would always ask me is your quality, your video, like, you're so confident. Like, how are you doing that? And at this time, it was around the time of Periscope. I don't know if you remember Periscope. Yes. So a lot of people started reaching out and asking for help with, like, getting on camera and speaking confidently and sharing their message. And I realized, oh, there's something here. And around that time, YouTube had actually asked me to come to a workshop at YouTube Space in Washington, D.C. They gave me a partnership manager because they felt like my channel was growing really quickly and they wanted to just support me along the journey because they saw the potential. And it was tricky because I was in the middle of deciding I wanted to pivot into coaching, but I still went and I still had a manager for a while until I decided I didn't want to do beauty content anymore. I really realized that I wanted to really focus on helping other people do what I do, especially out of the industry that I was in, you know, so more into the coaching industry. And that's really how it got started. And then it just started snowballing from there.
In terms of your content, and if anyone sees the video of this, you know, like Zaylee's video is always amazing, or you can check her out on Instagram. Definitely we'll put your Instagram connection there as well. The quality of your videos, that's definitely something that initially pops, right? When we see your stuff. And I know even for me, when I invested in really good equipment, even on Zoom, like you get on Zoom with someone, if they've got dialed in equipment, the quality of their video is at a really high standard. There's something about it that just unconsciously screams, I know what I'm talking about. You know, like from that professionalism side of things. Talk to us about like your philosophy in just investing in video quality and what that looks like from getting started. And we can talk a little bit equipment, and then I want to get into like actual content and content design. Yeah. But I know a lot of the listeners would be, I get a lot of those questions, not that I can really help people with it. About like, oh my gosh, like how do you get such good video and all that sort of stuff? You can actually help people with it. So can we help some people?
Yeah.
What does that look like? Yeah.
I think it's going back to what you said about being in a Zoom room with someone and, you know, they're all looking at you and thinking, oh my gosh, you have all the answers. I remember sitting in a Zoom room with Viacom executives because I worked with them for a while doing consulting on, you know, a project that they were working on. And every time I stepped onto Zoom during that period of time, like all of the executives would be like, who is this person?
It's true.
And yeah. So it just, it's the same as being in person, I would say. So that's why you want to make sure when you're at a certain point, of course, that you start investing in, you know, higher quality equipment for video. And so when you're first starting off, I would say if you have a window with some natural light and your phone, you can definitely just get started. The key is getting started. You want to always make sure that you have great audio. I always believe that audio is actually more important than video because we can sit through bad video. I can't sit through bad audio. I don't know about you, Colin.
No, it's rough. I've heard that. Audio is more important than video.
Yes, it actually is. So you want to make sure that you at least invest in a lavalier microphone, or, you know, we have so many of those little TikTok microphones that people are using now. And so just invest in that and get started. The key there is consistency, because I always say, and I always see this with clients, if you can't go live on your phone or record on your phone, you're not going to do it with a $10,000 video set. So it's about building that muscle. And when you get to a point where you feel comfortable, you're making a bit more money, you start investing in the quality of your equipment. I would say get a good webcam. There are so many good webcam, you know.
Have you tested the Opal?
No, I remember you got it. And I was excited to find out about your whole experience with it.
Yeah, I've got it here. It's pretty good. I feel like it's the best, you know, like mini video out there.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of the SLRs. Can you chat through like a little bit about your setup? And I know that if you want to point people to a guide that you have or anything like that as well, that'd be great.
Sure. I'd be happy to. I can definitely give you that info later on, but getting an SLR, I agree. It's one of the best investments that you can make. I do also say if you can actually buy one and leave it set up somewhere so that you can come and plop down so that you're always ready to go. For me, I use the Sony A6100. I just found out that you use the same camera, Colin.
We use the same camera. Come on, Pete.
So you're right on point there. I use that one. I love it. I've never had issues with it overheating or shutting off or anything like that. I always make sure it's connected to what we call a dummy battery. So I don't ever have to worry about battery power either. Yeah,
that's like plugged into the wall, right? It just runs electricity through it. Yes.
Oh, you can run for hours. Yeah. You teach workshops with it. I've taught where I've done full day like experiences with it. And it's,
What about lenses? I feel like the lens is so important, but I know nothing about lenses. So like what's your recommendation with a good lens?
You know, I would say your lens, especially with video content, really depends on your space, right? So I remember when I first started doing videos and I got my first DSLR, I was so excited and I got what we call a nifty 50 lens. I always talk about my New York apartment. I started filming in my kitchen when I first started my journey. And that meant that the kitchen was tiny and the lens was all up in my face. Yeah. Okay. So I would say a 35 millimeter lens is it gives you more room to play with versus a nifty 50. We love the blurred background of the nifty 50. A 35 can give you a blurred background. I feel like that's what people chase the most. Like, Saley, how can I get like the blurred background? A 35 will do you well. And so, you know, a lens is also a really huge investment. So don't be afraid to start with whatever lens the camera comes with. You will still see a quality difference. And then as you go along, you can upgrade.
Yeah. I know for me, you know, I always compare it to, you know, if you were to start a bakery down the road, you know, you're going to take out a $500,000 loan from the bank or something like that to invest in the bakery equipment and all the storefront and the branding. And like coaches complain about a $3,000 investment into their camera.
They do.
Like that is, I always think about it, like that is your storefront. That is the $500,000 investment that most business owners are making. And you as a content creator are investing $2,000 to $4,000 to get
literally
a premium setup. For me, it's a no-brainer. It is your
storefront. It is a no-brainer. I agree. I love that just the way that you expressed that. Yes, it is. It's a little investment compared to what other physical storefront business owners are paying, for sure. And it is your storefront. You're absolutely right. And if we have to be honest, yes, we do see, like, we see that video stand out. And I feel like it also allows you to attract a higher quality client. So
I agree.
You know.
And I will share a little hack that annoyed me with a previous launch that I just did recently. Is I thought my HD was switched on for Zoom and I had switched it on and then my recordings didn't come back in HD. And I found out you have to actually reach out to their support and have it turned on in the background. And so I
despise Zoom for that.
Oh my gosh, what is that? They're like holding back on us. So if anyone is using Zoom, you have to reach out to Zoom support and get them to turn it on in the background to get 720 at least. They don't give you 1080. They only give you 720 unless you're spending like $200,000 with them a year.
That part.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a side note that I was just like a little pet peeve of mine. Let's talk video confidence, because I think that there is such a massive opportunity with video, whether it be shooting on YouTube or Instagram or any sort of platform. But a lot of coaches, content creators, have like a fear or an anxiety when it comes to presenting on camera. And I think a lot of us get like very self-critical of how we come across, like wanting to make it like absolutely perfect. Help us to understand the mindset that you encourage people to have when it comes to video.
Yeah, well, it's all practice. You're not going to get it on the first try. You're not going to knock it out the park on the first try. And I think it's all about being patient with yourself. When I look back at my content, I cringe.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah.
But I leave that content up there because it deserves to be there. We deserve to see the journey and the difference. So I say, when you start thinking in that way, that's you thinking in lack. If you know what you're building and what your goals are and what you're shooting for, you will give yourself the grace to show up as you are right now and allow yourself to grow as you go along. It's like anything else. It's also a skill. It's something that is practiced. As you practice it, you will get better and better. You'll start learning more. You'll start communicating with your audience more and understanding how to speak to them. But you have to build the muscle of it. You have to commit to building the muscle and commit to being okay with showing up for the first day. It's like the first day at school, right? So that's one of the first things I will say. And I know that there's the thought of, like, for me, for example, I was born in Trinidad and Tobago. It's a tiny island in the Caribbean. And when I first started getting on camera, the first thing I thought about was, oh my gosh, my accent. It's going to come out, especially if I'm passionate or angry or excited. It is going to come out. And I don't know if people will understand what I'm saying. And I had to get over that insecurity because in that moment, I was thinking about myself and not the people that I desired to serve. As business owners, we're here to serve. We're here to serve. That's what we are placed here to do. And so anytime I start thinking like that, and I have that type of a mindset block, I put myself into service mode and I show up for the people that I want to impact.
So that mindset shift of being focused on yourself to going, how can I help people? How can I serve people? I definitely think, I know for me, that's the mindset I have every single time I come into a big presentation. If I ever find myself getting nervous, it's because I'm focused on myself.
Literally.
Yeah, absolutely. And even that's so interesting, the idea around the accent, because I get that question a lot as well, because obviously I teach speaking and selling from stage, and people ask, oh, you know, my accent is a problem, all that sort of stuff. But I think that if you can genuinely come from a place of service energetically, people sense it, and it doesn't matter about your accent. Like,
oh, it's a superpower, yeah. if not anything else. I would say it differentiates you. It separates you instantly from, you know, the other people in your industry. It's something that is really special and unique about you. And I think that we are, you know, the accent people, the accent tribe, we need to actually embrace it and use it as a tool, you know, when you are presenting or you are on camera.
Now everyone wants an accent.
Hello.
Hello. I've had to adjust my accent slightly. Which I know you have as well, which is, you know, part of the, you know, it's actually for me, it's putting the audience first as well. From the sense I want to be authentic. I want to be myself, but I also want to communicate in a way where the audience truly understands me as well.
I agree.
And so there's little tweaks that I'll make in how I communicate, but not massive tweaks. I still stay kind of who I am and so forth. Talk to me about the idea of how do we build consistency on camera? Like, what are the mechanisms we need to have in place to do that consistently?
You know what? I think a lot of the mistakes that I see business owners, coaches, consultants, experts making is that they put video last. They put it as the last thing that they should be worried about. Like, it's usually the thing that they're like, it's on the list, it's pending, they're preparing to do it because it's a lot of mental preparation and all of that. But it's actually one of the first things that you should focus on in your business. You'd be much further along if you did, I promise you. when you think about, so I've been teaching about video content since 2015, and I always said, if you don't catch up, it's gonna be a problem. Now, every single platform is prioritizing video. Now we're making more money than ever. All of the biggest coaches and consultants in your industry, the people that you look up to, are on camera consistently and they're putting it first. So if you're wondering why you're left behind or why things aren't working for you, you're not being consistent. And so you need to start thinking about video first and then everything else after. So for me, what I try to do is get that out of the way. So I make sure that that's done, like all of my recording is done, or if I'm not able to record, I can go live on the internet for free and make money. So there are no barriers. The only barrier is you. So that's what you need to start thinking about. You can either go live if you feel like I'm not a pre-recorded person, I feel robotic. If I do pre-record, I'm talking to a camera. Go live. The audience is there and they're talking live with you. And live is the most forgiving part yeah. of the process because you can be yourself. You get, you know, live is live, right? You have people that you can talk to or communicate with. If you don't, tell your business bestie to show up in the comments for you. Ask someone to support you. If you're a part of a coaching program or group, say, hey guys, I'm going live. Anyone able to support me at 7 p.m. tonight? There are so many ways that we can build that muscle of consistency, but I think it's really about not leaving it for last and thinking about it as video first.
That's a good reminder. And I mean, if you look at the content hierarchy, video's queen or king. It really is, because everything from video can be extracted from the video to the audio, to the text.
Yes.
You know, the in terms of the ascension of content, video is the highest level you can go. And so
highest leverage. Yeah,
it really is the highest leverage. What does that look like in your schedule, like on a week-to-week basis, Zaylee, in terms of prioritizing video?
Yeah, you know what? I will slide into being a woman here. I work my content schedule around my cycle. So I know at the top of my cycle, when I'm in the follicular phase, which is maybe morning for a man, because men go through the same cycle in 24 hours. Wow. Lucky you.
Well, just so you know, we have about 70% women listenership. So you're gonna capture most of the audience here.
Girl power. That's good to know. So in the first phase of a woman's cycle, you have the most ideas. This is when my husband is like, no more ideas, please. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, wait. So when I'm in that phase, I have all the ideas. I have the energy to script and get all of my ideas out for the month and make sure that they're connected to the bigger goals in the business. So I get all of that creativity out in that cycle. And then we move into ovulation. I record an ovulation. As a woman in the ovulation cycle, you're most excited. You're more social. You want to communicate more. And for me, when I look at my videos, that were recorded in that time, they are so dynamic. So even when I have webinars and such, I make sure and schedule it around that time because I know I'm on fire and I will sell you the world. Okay. Now, when I hit the luteal phase, which is a little bit more quiet because we're preparing to go into our menstrual phase, I can check off boxes. That's what, when, if I have anything to look over or upload, or that's the more detailed work. If you are editing yourself, you can edit in that phase as well. Like, you know, you have more detailed things, maybe titling, thumbnails, maybe descriptions and things like that. I'll do it in that time. And menstrual, I rest. So I don't do anything, but I will tell you, for me, when I hit luteal and menstrual, I'm the most insecure version of myself, transparently. And that's when I connect to my ideal customer or client the most. That's when I can tap into, you feel like this, they feel like this as well. How can you relay this message to them? So I'm still taking notes. I'm still observing myself because I was once a version of my ideal customer or client, and I'm able to connect with them on an even deeper level. And then I come back into follicular again. Colin, you did not know you were going to sign up for a menstrual cycle content class today.
Hey, I'm always ready to sign up for anything. So I love that this has become a part of the conversation. And like I said, I think majority of the listeners are going to be light bulb moments right now going, oh my gosh, like this makes so much sense. So use that how you will, people. I love that. In terms of being dynamic on a video,
yeah,
what are some tips you have for improving their people's dynamics, their charisma, their attraction, yeah, all of that sort of good stuff on camera?
You know what? I make sure that there is a week at least, or even like 2 weeks, 1.5 weeks in a month where I am feeling my best. That's when I'll wake up and get ready. I feel like when I'm, you know, ready in person, as in I'm dressed, hair looks okay, everything looks in place, I show up more on camera. So I make sure that I have time within my month where I'm fully dressed, I'm doing all the things. That's my social butterfly time, right? And so
you put on clothes, you get dressed.
Yes, yes. Daily,
did I tell you about the time I was naked on Instagram?
No, Colin, are you serious?
Like, honest to God, dead serious. I posted myself naked on Instagram.
You did not.
Yes, accidentally.
This is hilarious. Because do you know this is a PR stunt for, you know, all the entertainers now? So you were on the forefront of this trend is what you're
saying. It was part of my Instagram strategy. No, what happened was I was a story and I posted it. And it was a video showing a view, but I'd literally just got out of the shower and it was reflecting through the, I didn't have any clothes on and I posted it. And then I turned my phone off cause I was about to speak an hour later. So I turned my phone off.
Oh, so it had time to marinate on the internet.
Oh yeah. It had time to just get up there. This is why half of my business has grown from just that one post.
I was just going to ask you that. Did you make any sales that day?
And honest to God, my wife messages me 2 minutes before about to get on stage and it just says, you are naked on Instagram. And
how did that talk go?
So I managed to get it down just before I got on stage, but that was crazy. So yeah.
That is hilarious.
That's my funny story for the episode. But you were talking about just feeling better. So like wearing the right clothes, like what that looks like, having space for it. Talk to us more about that.
Definitely. Just making sure I'm camera ready. That way I'm on Instagram stories more. I'm connecting and communicating more. I'm just amped and ready. Also just self-care, guys, like taking care of yourself, working out, like you're going to feel internally confident and it's going to spill, right? You're going to want to show up. You're going to want to inspire and motivate people. And so taking care of yourself and making sure that you are eating the right things, drinking water, working out, not just, you know, drinking coffee all day. Make sure that you're taking care of yourself so that you're able to show up and serve others. When you get on camera, it is a dangerous thing to be able to impact people from the comfort of your home. And we have people using that skill to do bad things, okay? Because it's such a powerful, high leverage skill to be able to show up and empower and inspire. So those are two things that I make sure that I am doing, but also connecting myself to my audience and making sure that I'm aware of what they're struggling with. Making sure that even when I'm launching, I'm in Instagram stories, speaking directly to the problems that they're having, the decisions that they're trying to make, the things that they might be contemplating. I might get on and share a personal story connected to when I was making my first investment. And I can't tell you how those simple things, you know, they sell, right? I'll share a story about maybe I missed a launch sometime and I realized that I had to spend a year waiting for that cart to open again. And in that year, I wasted so much time because now I got to wait for this specific coach that I really want to work with. And I'm that person. I'm really picky about who I want to work with. And, you know, if I have to wait 6 months or a year, am I going to twiddle my thumbs in between that time? So understanding where your person is and speaking directly into that, whether it's with your experience or your experience with other students, customers, clients, whatever it is, it really helps because then you'll start getting those messages of, I feel like you're looking through my window, or I feel like you're, you know, speaking. How do you know what's going on in my mind? Understand your customer or client. That helps with you being much more dynamic. And connecting directly with your audience.
You mentioned in our previous conversation about the unique method, but specifically we were talking about like moving away from mimicking other people and really finding your authentic voice. What does that mean? What does that look like?
You know, it really looks like when you in the online space, we're seeing a lot of duplicates right now. And some of it is innocent because we're all in rooms discussing strategy and we're excited and this is working for her, so it might work for me. And this person creates in this way. And, you know, so some of it is really innocent. Some of it is us just looking at people online and seeing what's happening for them and feeling like I need to say exactly what they are saying or I need to act like they're acting. The other thing is AI is a beautiful thing, but some of us are saying these same things in the online space. And so I think a lot of us are sleeping on our uniqueness or how unique we are. And, you know, we're not sharing.
What does uniqueness look like? And what about for, even for you? Like, what are the unique things that you love to bring out about you? Because you're very unique.
Oh, why, thank you. Thank you, Colin. I feel like I am very aware of my story. I'm very aware of how I got here. I'm very aware of how my offerings are different. For example, if you work with another camera confidence coach, they may not be able to share with you. I have a beauty blogging background. I used to be a makeup artist. I know I have a specific eye for quality and for building sets and things like that. So if you're looking for that, I know that I can help you with those things versus another coach who does work with video, but they may not be able to help you with those things. And so when you're unique and you're so sure of your experiences merging within your expertise, you're able to speak from a different perspective from everyone else. Then what you're sharing is different. You're creating a different experience for the people that are looking at you and listening to you. And so it took me a while to really understand that and be able to package that. And also in collaboration with that, be able to communicate that to my audience. Mm. So being unique is really embracing yourself and your journey and embracing your audience and seeing what's the crossover or how can I communicate with them based on what I can offer. Now, the cool thing about being unique is you're going to repel people. Right. And that's what we essentially want.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where the unique method came from. And it's UNIQ, the first pillar of sorts. It's really things that you can share based on your content. Right. So the first one is uncovering your story. So that's the U. The second one is navigating your industry. So how are we connecting our stories to our industry? The third one is injecting everyday experiences, because I can tell you a story based on this morning and connect it directly into why you should sign up for the camera confidence class. And so that's a skill, being able to do that. And the Q is just the quest for continuing to observe yourself and growing your authenticity, because we're changing every day. So if I sit with you and work out your unique content strategy today, you know, 5 years later, you might be thinking about something different. And so it's important to keep observing that to see how you're growing and changing and how your business is going to grow and change as well. That means your messaging and your marketing is going to evolve as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that idea of bringing in, because everyone has a unique story, past experiences, and even things that I feel like people may not even think are relevant. I feel like they can be really cool as well. Like,
I agree. You know, and that's one thing I admire about you, Colin. Like, you always have, even as you're presenting, you can be doing anything. You speak about conversion stories, but if you listen to Colin, he has so many interesting stories along the way. I don't know if you collect those nuggets or if it's just you're so skilled. Okay, there you go. So you intentionally collect.
I've got a whole folder.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. I'll have to tell you my pizza driving, delivery driving story at some point.
Oh, I know that one. I pay attention.
talk to us about software, because I think that the software you use is definitely a big, you know, especially if you're doing the editing yourself when you first start out.
Yeah.
What's some of your favorite software for recording video?
For recording, I love Ecamm Live. We were just speaking about Ecamm. The reason why I love Ecamm is, as a creative person, you can do so many things with it. So I use it for live streaming. I can multi-stream with it. I can stream to YouTube, Instagram, Facebook group, Facebook page. I also use it. I use it a lot for pre-recording. So you can record directly on Ecamm. And so I do all of my YouTube videos. I record it through Ecamm. All of my trainings and workshops, I record it through Ecamm. You can screen share on there. Colin and I were just speaking about adjusting color and making your video look how you want it to look. I like a dreamy bit of a look. So I'm able to add what we call LUTs to Ecamm to give that vibe. Do so many different things. Yeah, it's a really, really great tool. And I will say that my video looks good, but I am not the person who wants to spend hours on tech and on figuring out software at all. That is not me. So I always recommend the things that can give you the best quality, but have the easiest or lowest learning barriers ever. Yeah. Because I don't want to spend all day doing that. I want to sell. I want to get on camera. I want to communicate. So
I haven't used Ecamm for recorded video.
So good.
I've only ever used ScreenFlow for recorded video. Mm-hmm. And I really like the editing software on the back end of ScreenFlow. It's like
I have heard you speak about that.
Yeah, to you. Yeah. But is there editing software on the back of Ecamm? How does that work?
So they are connected or integrated to Descript. I don't know if you ever heard about Descript.
I've never used Descript, but I've seen it.
Oh, and it's so good.
Amazing.
Yes. So you can edit like a transcript, right? Yes. So, I'll go back and say the reason why I love using Ecamm to pre-record things is because I can pause while recording and resume when I'm ready. So let's say I want to check my notes or something. I'll pause the recording, check my notes, and come back on camera like nothing happened and hit resume so that I cut out a lot of editing there already. So that's why I wanted to bring it back, because with Ecamm, I get to cut out, you know, like if I take a longer pause or I know I want to refresh my memory, I can pause it and then resume. And then I export to Descript. With Descript, you get like a transcript, it's a document, and you can literally edit in there. And that for me is a game changer.
Yeah, that's just phenomenal. Like you can delete words and it deletes the video.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Literally.
I didn't know that they were connected. Gosh, I'm learning cool stuff here. Okay. This is good. This is good. Anything else that you would love to share in regards to video that you feel like is underutilized, or strategies that you would say for people, you know, because I would say most people are still in the infancy stage of using video. There's going to be some listeners who are massively into it, but is there anything else you would share with people for them to get started and really start to see the benefits of video?
I would say learn how to share experiences versus only educating. Ooh, right. Like, and that's something that Colin talks a lot about. And, you know, when you learn how to share experiences and when you switch over to more how I have done XYZ versus you should do XYZ, it's a different reception from the audience. And we're seeing that more and more. So learn how to tell stories about what you want to educate people about. Learn how to date your ideal customer or client, and learn how you can integrate your own experiences in business or your testimonials or, you know, whatever it is into education. We're now doing edutaining. We're no longer just educating. And I think that's something that as a natural coach or teacher, you just want to educate and give that information. If you are looking to do that on social, so there's a difference between front end video and back end video. Back end, you get on and you can teach, you can share and all of that. But front end, learn how to express yourself through your experiences, and it's going to change the game for you.
Oh, that's a great little tip to kick off. Zaylee, I'm sure people are going to love hearing from you and want to hear more. What's the best place for them to connect with you? And I know you've got the unique method. You want to share that? Go for it.
Yes. Yeah, you can find me everywhere at Zaylee Barclay. That is XAYLIBARCLAY. I'm on Instagram a lot. Hop into my stories, DM me. I'm always in my DMs. Yeah. That's my favorite place ever.
You DM me a lot. I feel like that we chat over Instagram quite a bit. You're definitely active on Instagram, similar to me. So guys, If you found this valuable, DM Zaylee and let her know what was most helpful from this episode. Yes. Go ahead and do it now because she would love to connect with you, I know. And tell us about the unique method.
Yeah, you can find the unique method at theuniquemethod.com, and you're going to get a guide there, and that guide is going to break down those four pillars that I spoke about. And the beauty of it is that you're not going to have to figure out what to talk about on camera by yourself, because I'm going to prompt you and give you so much like content ideas that you can pick one a day and just go off of that. So
beautiful. And it's UNIQ. There's no U in
yes.
the end. Yeah.
Yes. So thank you for that comment.
Method.com. I love that. Yes. Zaylee, last question is, imagine it comes to the end of your life, which it will. And people are standing around talking about you, talking about the impact, the meaning, the results, the whatever it is that you've had on their life. What would be your hope that people would be whispering about you and what you represented?
That I inspired them in some way to be their best, like show up, not even be, like show up as their best self somewhere. Whether it is a book or, you know, a series or something, like I hope that I would inspire someone to show up as their best self or as their highest self, in some capacity in the online space, maybe on camera too.
So good. Well, you are living that mission. It's been a pleasure having you, on the Expert Edge, and it's a pleasure having you in our communities as well. So I appreciate
Thank you,
Zaylee.
Same. I appreciate you as well.
Why is it so hard to know what content to include in your speeches and webinars? Knowing which ideas to keep in and what to leave out is the difference between just getting claps or signing clients. If you're really serious about making your content highly persuasive, make sure to download the Persuasive Content Builder while it's still available. Go to www.persuasivecontentbuilder.com and get your step-by-step formula for designing and delivering content that connects with your audience and moves them to join your programs. Until then, we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The Expert Edge.